Good morning. It's again my joy to stand before you this morning to bring God's word to us. I continue to appreciate the opportunity that the leadership of the church has given to me to be able to bring God's word to us. And as I was reflecting on sharing today, I thought, well, we need to maintain, as it were, the spirit of the season, as our minds are still focused on the celebration of the Savior, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I felt it would be befitting for us to continue with that thought and see what we can draw from Scripture for our encouragement, edification, and also for our own, as it were, being helped in the way we ought to respond to Christ and endeavor to make known the gospel, the truth of Christ, especially to them that do not know him. Now, my focus really from the passage that has been read to us would be to look at the experience the shepherds had as the angel of the Lord appeared to them and broke this news, the good news about the birth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would agree that the whole idea of the incarnation is a mystery, how God would become man. We will never fully comprehend this truth. But the only response we can give is to worship God for his love towards us. God chose to be man so that you and I, we may have the privilege of being reconciled back to our God. And so Christ's humiliation is depicted in the story and mystery of the incarnation, especially the account following his birth as he lay in a manger. Without being given the background information about his miraculous conception and birth, going to the manger and seeing the baby Jesus, no one would have said, surely this is the Son of God. Though fully God and fully man, there were times in Christ's life here on earth at which his deity was veiled. Christ's humility or humiliation in a manger is attended with some glimpse of his glory to add balance, as it were, to take off some of the offense that others would have taken, especially for the shepherds as they went to see this baby. Like Matthew Henley once said, when he, referring to Jesus, humbled himself, God did in some measure exalt him and give him earnest of his future exaltation. When we see him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, we are tempted to say, surely this cannot be the Son of God. In his birth, we see God revealing Christ's glory and majesty. An angel of the Lord announces to the shepherds and declares something of the glory of Christ. God makes a statement that this is no ordinary child. He is the Son of God. Like the shepherds, seeing all these glories, we can surely say it can be no other than the Son of God. Concerning whom it was said, when he was brought into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. And I would want to ask you to turn with me to the passage that was read to us, Luke and chapter 2. And as we continue in this season to celebrate the coming of the Savior, like I mentioned this morning, I would love us to focus on some of the glories that the Lord revealed about Christ to the shepherds. We read there in our text, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace be among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Shall we pray? We give you thanks, our Father, for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege we have to gather as your people on the Sabbath day, where we can rest our minds from the activities of the day, of the week, and be able to focus on you, our Creator, our God, and join the multitudes that have bowed their knee to Christ and acknowledge him as Lord in worshiping you. We thank you for each one of us you've enabled to be here. We plead, our Father, that you may be pleased to abide with us. You may be pleased to visit us, for you know where we are and the condition of our hearts and souls. Be pleased, our Father, to meet us at the very point of need. We pray that you may continue to build your work here at Providence Reformed Baptist Church. We thank you for what you are doing in and through your people in this land. Be pleased now, as we turn to your word, to review these truths you'd want us to know for our growth, so that we may worship you aright and continue to serve you as you've called us. We pray now that you may be pleased to minister to us, both preacher and listeners. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like we've read, God reveals Christ's glories at birth to affirm his deity as the Son of God to the shepherd. He rightly prepares the shepherds to behold the true image and the identity of this newborn baby. Before they would behold, before they would see this baby, the Lord prepares their minds that they would not be looking at an ordinary child like any other child that was born in that region, in that area, but they will be watching or looking at the very Son of God. He prepares their minds so that as they behold this baby, they would, as it were, give the respect, give the honor, give the worship that is due the Son of God, and above all, to God, who had seen it fit to send His Son for the redemption of sinners. And He does so in a powerful way. As the announcement is made in the heavens that the Savior, the baby Jesus, prophesied many years, is born, the Lord, as it were, dispatches His messenger. He is in flight where? To the shepherds. To declare and break this good news that will be of great joy to all people. And so God does this. You can imagine if the shepherds are just gone and, as it were, maybe accidentally stumble into the manger and find this baby Jesus, they would have treated this baby like any other child. But God is saying, wow, in His humiliation, as He chose to empty Himself, to, as it were, remove the glory that He had enjoyed for all eternity, the Lord says He is still worthy of the worship of my people. He is the Son of God. So as you go there, before you behold my Son, I would want to prepare you so that you can worship Him aright. So that you can have the right attitude towards this gift that God was giving to man. And the first thing we see, an angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, as registered in verses 8 and 9. The angel appears to the people. A people belonging, as it were, to a despised and low profession. Shepherds were never respected in the culture of the day. It was one of the professions that no one would aspire to wanting to be, as it were, or to take in life. And yet these men were satisfied with what their calling was about, and they were busy watching over the flock. God honors them by announcing to them the good news that will bring joy to the people of the world. They were the first, as it were, to be taught the good news of the Savior. What an honor. An angel of the Lord, a messenger of God, in His glory and majesty, appears to the shepherds and proclaims the birth of the Christ. The birth of the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David. This news first was known in heaven and first declared to the shepherds. God the Father sends an angel to announce the shepherds. What an honor and privilege these men had. Apart from Mary and Joseph, they were the first to behold the Son of God. And the Lord does it so powerfully to these shepherds. In fact, in some cultures, following the birth of a child, it would be the father who breaks the news to the family and the public, as it were. Behold, when Christ is born, God the Father dispatches, as it were, in flight, his messenger from heaven to earth to announce the birth of his Son, the Son of God. He wants to make it clear, like I've mentioned, that this is no ordinary child. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. Having taken the human nature, the humiliation of the Son of God at his birth is balanced with the glories that were revealed to the shepherd in the majestic angelic announcement. This is clear testimony that this indeed is the Son of God, the Christ, the anointed of God, the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, the Savior of the world. An angel, the messenger of the Lord, breaks the news of Christ's birth. The good news of the birth of the Savior of sinners was not announced to chief priests, was not announced to the elders, to the scribes. In fact, they were not even prepared to receive these tidings, but to a company of poor shepherds, plain men dwelling in tents. The words of James and Paul are applicable here. We read, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble, were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He chose to reveal this message to the poor, lowly people of society, the shepherds. They were busy enjoying their calling, watching over the flock. They were keeping watch in the night, very alert, very awake, and the Lord chooses to break the news to them about the birth of his Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. I would want to encourage us, dear brethren, that regardless of our profession and where we might be, God can still minister to us. What he calls us to do is to be faithful in those places where he has placed us as his people. Serve the Lord faithfully in your profession and calling, and honor him. The Lord can use you. The Lord can bless you. The Lord can show his face shine upon you. The other thing we appreciate that God does to prepare the shepherds is the glory of the Lord being displayed in their very eyes. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. The scenery was glorious. Behold, an angel of the Lord came upon them suddenly from heaven and stood over them. I can imagine perhaps the angel was hanging in the air as he broke this news to them. And there was great light. They could not look at the brilliance of the appearance of the angel. Like we read, they were scared of the whole thing. But that glorious appearing of the angel was also affirming the fact that this news that was being passed on to them was a glorious news which needed to be attended, as it were, with glory. And the shepherds never expected it. They were afraid. They were made aware and certain that the visit by the angel was indeed from heaven. They saw and heard the glory of the Lord around them. They were not half asleep. They were very much awake and they saw everything that happened. They never expected it. They were alarmed. They were scared because of the glory of the Lord that surrounded them. The glory shone around them and made the night become day. There was glory associated with God's appearance, a heavenly glory, an exceedingly great glory. They could not bear the bright, the radiant, and dazzling luster. It made them afraid and they were scared. What next? And they never expected the good news. They thought maybe that was God's visit with a message of wrath. This is the natural response of man whenever they encounter God. They don't many times prepare to receive good news, as it were. They think God is coming in judgment. And when he appears in glory, the response usually is, I'm undone. I'm unworthy. We see the cry of Isaiah when the Lord appeared before him. He cries out, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And this is usually the reaction and response of people whenever they have an encounter with an angel of the Lord in his brilliance, in his glory, as it were. It's always a reaction of feeling unworthy, feeling a sense of guilt, or feeling not being worthy to stand in that kind of brilliance. Before Christ's humiliation, the splendor of the glory was well known to him. He dwelt in that glory. Yet he chose to empty himself, as it were, of that glory, to deny himself of that which he had known for eternity, to be in the presence of God by taking on human flesh only for our salvation. But God displayed his glory to the shepherds to remind them that the baby they would see in a manger was worthy of glory. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. He is Lord, Lord of all. He is sovereign prince. He is God. He is Jehovah. He is Savior. And we need to honor him for who he is. Therefore, worship and honor him because he is the Son of God. When we look at verse 10 and 11, we see the kind of the message that was passed on to the angel, to the shepherds by the angel of the Lord. The message was centered on Christ. The message was about Christ. Everything focused on him as the Savior of the world. He declares to the shepherds, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Why was it a good news? Scripture tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one. A people who were separated from the presence of God, being without God, destined for destruction. A people who were not worthy to stand before God. How else would they react to such news? Indeed, it was good news. Because now man will have a way of being reconciled with God. God providing a way of reconciliation, a way of pardon, a way of hope, a way of forgiveness, a way of finding peace with God. And this way was in his son, the Lord Jesus. And from the onset, the angel tells them it's good news. And it is interesting. It's like the angel is saying, you guys, you have every reason to rejoice. Being good news, first and foremost, the man I'm declaring to you didn't take our nature. He took your nature. The man I'm about to declare to you, he didn't die for our sins. He died for your sins. He is a gift to man for your salvation. You have every reason to rejoice. This is good news. And the shepherds surely rejoice to hear this news. And more so to the recipients that heard. And to us, dear brethren, who have received this good news. We have every reason to rejoice and to worship God. You and I, we should not have been here. You and I, we should have had no privilege of worshiping this God. But because of Christ, the good news that was declared, we are what we are. And we have this privilege to call on the name of the Lord. And today we are called sons and daughters of God. One longed, looked for, and yearned, prophesied about by the prophets. After 4,000 years of darkness, a world without hope, the Lord unwraps this hope by saying, I bring you good news. In the seed of David, a Savior has been born. A message of hope and peace, a message of salvation. In that message, it's clear the audience and the recipients are mentioned. It's no longer for the Jews. It's no longer for a certain clique of people or nation. It will be for all the people of the nations. Jews and Gentiles alike will be recipients of this good news. And the content of this message is the Savior has been born. Oh, in that message they declared to the shepherd. The audience, the content, it's all contained there. For unto you is born this day a Savior, the Savior that has been so long awaited, which is Christ the Lord in the city of David. And he gives them a sign how they would recognize this child. How would they find them in Bethlehem? It could be they were guided where to find him exactly. And fully, he tells them, you'll find him by this symbol. He's lying in a manger. And you find him wrapped in clothes. An infant lying helpless in the hands of Mary and Joseph. Imagine the humiliation of the Son of God, the third person of the triune God becoming man and being born in a manger of all the places because there was no room in the inn. Imagine your baby today being born in such an environment. Imagine your child being born in such a place. If it would happen in our world today, it would be news, and human rights activists would not be kind to the owners of the hotel or the inn. They would say, how cruel these people can be. Surely they could not create space for an expectant mother? Very uncaring. And you may be feeling the pain, and you can't imagine your own child being born in such kind of a condition, as you feel sad and pain of the humiliation of the Son of God. Dear friends, you should not forget this truth. It's because of your sins and mine that God had to become man to save his people from their sins. That should cause you to worship God, to love God, and to devote yourself to such a loving God. God himself becoming man and being born in such a filthy place. All because of you and because of me. Indeed, what good news. Like I mentioned, God had to reveal to the shepherds ahead of time the glories of Christ so that they would not stumble to see Christ as a baby in that condition. Like I mentioned, the message was all about Christ, the Savior born, Christ the Lord. The Savior is born, and indeed, it's good news to all the people. And this is indeed good news of great joy. Like the passage that was read to us in Isaiah 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This news is for all men. Not angels. It's for us to rejoice in God's provision for our salvation. This is a message of joy indeed to all people. Great joy. Let heaven and earth rejoice before this Lord, for he has come, the Savior, the Lord. And I would want to emphasize, dear brethren, there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Only the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. If we are to find peace with God, we ought to look to the only and one gift of God for the salvation of man, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue to appreciate the glories that were encountered by the shepherds on that day. After this angel announces this news to the shepherds, we are told in verse 13 and 14 that the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Immediately, the angel finished announcing, we are told a multitude of angels appeared. They were praising God. The shepherds could hear this song of praise to God for the good news for all people. This is a different song and chorus these angels we are proclaiming. It's different from the one we see in Revelation 14:3, where we are told no one could learn. But this one, the shepherds heard, and they were able to recite these words to us. It's a song that all of us can sing in praising God for the salvation that has come to us. Glory to God in the highest. God's good will to men manifested in sending the Messiah. The song was pointed to praising God. Glory to God, whose kindness and love designed this favor for man. As the angels, as the shepherds listened to these praises, and I can imagine the noise of praise and adoration to God that resounded the heavens, resounded the area where they had gathered. And there was no doubt, they knew this news was too good to ignore. This news was too good to imagine they were dreaming. And immediately we are told they rushed to see what the angel had shared with them. The first hymn to the honor of God manifest in the flesh was sung by a great company of heavenly hosts. We have peace with God because of the incarnation of Christ. We are told in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can never have peace with God without knowing and committing our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the peace, the Prince of Peace. A troubled soul, a troubled heart finds peace in knowing Christ. Troubled relationships are only reconciled in knowing the Prince of Peace. Troubled homes can only know true peace in knowing the Prince of Peace, even our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Troubled relationships are healed in knowing the Prince of Peace, the Savior. There can never be peace within your soul without Christ. There can never be peace between you and your God without knowing Christ. He came to reconcile us. He came that we may have peace with God, that we may experience forgiveness. Peace is only found in Him. Over the week, I had the privilege of watching a movie, Woodlawn High School, events of 1973. Relationships between the whites and the blacks. And in that movie, the reconciling principle was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brethren, we can never have peace in our relationships. We can never have peace in any kind of gathering or community. Why? Because we are sinners. We are self-centered. We are selfish to ourselves. Unless we know Him who loved us not of anything in us, when we are still dead in our trespasses and sins. Unless we know Him who died for the Jews, for the Gentiles, who died for any of His people, regardless of the region, regardless of where they are. Unless we know Him, and choose, I'm qualifying the word, knowing Him is not sufficient. Knowing Him and choose to obey Him and live in accordance to His words, there can never be peace. He came that we may have peace. Counselors are very helpful. And they do provide help, especially godly counselors. But if you don't know the Prince of Peace, there can never be peace in your soul. Until you know Him, you'll still be troubled in your soul. And so they declare this good news. And quickly, as I wrap up, let's look at the response of the shepherds in verse 15 and 18. They immediately obeyed by going to see the child. They had no doubt. They acted on the words spoken to them. They went to the place where the baby Jesus was lying in a manger and said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the baby laying in a manger. They shared their experience, I believe, with Mary and Joseph. And I would want to think Mary and Joseph too might have recounted the story of how Jesus was born. As they listened to these messages from Mary, as Mary also was sharing and the shepherds were sharing, they could not help but to worship God. And they did not keep quiet with this news. They were quick to wanting to share with many others. Dear brethren, it's the things they heard, things they experienced, things they were taught by the Lord, they were able to share with others. Isn't it the same principle we see from the apostles? As the Apostle John tells us in 1 John. Verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." It's the things we've heard, things we have experienced, things that we have beheld, are the things that we proclaim to you. This was true of the shepherds. They spoke of that which they had heard, experienced, and shared with Mary and Joseph. The same Mary and Joseph were able to pass on what they had heard. What was their response? They worshipped God. For we are told, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." What was Mary's response? "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in our heart." The art of meditation, the art of pausing and reflecting on the word of God, even when we are amused at its truths and its glorious impacting power that is in the word, the least we can do is to meditate and to ponder. We see their reaction, dear brethren. We can draw and learn from the response of the shepherds. We should not hold back that which we've known of the Savior. We should testify and tell many others of what Christ has done in our lives, what Christ has declared in His word, and what Christ is able to do to them that believe in Him and acknowledge Him as Lord. I would want to encourage us not to hold back these glorious truths we've known and experienced, having turned and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have the attitude of the lepers, as recorded in 2 Kings 7 and verse 9, where they reacted, having found good things in the land they had gone to. The lepers said to each other, "Are we doing right? This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will be over us." And they went and broke the news, the good news. "Dear brethren, as it is day, let's proclaim the good news. The Prince of Peace has come. As we are still alive, as we tarry for the second appearance of the Son of God, this time not to serve the world, but to judge the world and take his people to be with him. As we have opportunities, dear brethren, let's be busy telling others the good news about the Savior, the Lord Jesus." For us, brethren, who have known Christ as Lord and Savior, as we continue to cherish these truths and the glories of Christ, that should evoke in us true worship that is worthy of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. We should devote ourselves fully to this God who has loved us so much. How is our devotion to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he Lord indeed of your life? Is he at the top of all your priorities? Where does he fall in your life? Does he take the first place as Lord? Do you give him the honor that is due his name? Are you cautious of him wherever you are, that you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus? Are you cautious of him at your place of work, that you are the light for others to see Christ shining in you? Are you cautious of the fact that you are a witness of this Savior wherever you are? You are a letter, living letter, read, representing aright. Demonstrate to the world he is worthy of all my life. Like Paul declared, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He deserves all and everything in me, about me, about everything. Why? He is Lord. He came to redeem his own people who declare praises of his great name. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for these reminders where you call us to true devotion to him who fully gave himself for our redemption. May we, as your people, live such lives that to demonstrate genuine gratefulness and devotion to such a one who loved us. Forgive us, Lord, when we've not lived as we ought to, as your people. When we've not been courageous enough to speak of the good news that has come for all men. We pray that you would help us, especially as we, by your grace, get into the new year, that we live such lives that daily will demonstrate Christ indeed being Lord. be with us, our Father, and help us to tell others of the good news, for Christ's sake.